This is Wisconsin Public Radio on NPR One.
President Trump's recent decision to end the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA, program has reignited a debate over how much immigration costs U.S. taxpayers. Critics say the cost is too high, but what benefits do they actually receive in Wisconsin? Alexandra Hall went to find out.
Good afternoon. Thank you for calling the Capital Consortium.
Sean Tessman is standing near the edge of a sea of gray cubicles where her staff answer phone calls from people seeking public benefits.
Today is a relatively busy day. We expect to get about 2,000 phone calls.
Tessman is an administrator at the Dane County Job Center. She says when it comes to the benefits immigrants qualify for,
it can be complicated.
Tessman says welfare reform in 1996 limited the federal benefits that immigrants who are in the country legally can receive. Since then, each state has come up with its own rules. In Wisconsin, she says, it basically boils down to this.
Generally speaking, even legal immigrants, unless they have been here and have had that qualified status for a minimum of 5 years, they generally will not qualify as adults for these benefit programs, even though their children might.
That's how it works with programs like FoodShare, Wisconsin's version of food stamps. Lawful permanent residents who have had a green card for less than 5 years and people who are in the country illegally, they can't use FoodShare. But sometimes their kids can. There are other exceptions, like with BadgerCare, Wisconsin's health coverage for low-income residents.
People, even without that 5-year waiting period, can still qualify for emergency medical care if something catastrophic happens, and pregnant women can also qualify for prenatal care.
The costs and benefits of immigration are at the forefront of the national debate. Last month, the Trump administration endorsed the RAISE Act, a proposal that aims to cut legal immigration by half over the next decade. Here's senior policy advisor Stephen Miller announcing the RAISE Act to reporters at the White House.
Every year we issue 1 million green cards to foreign nationals from all the countries of the world, but we do so without regard to whether that applicant has demonstrated the skill that can add to the U.S. economy, whether they can pay their own way or be reliant on welfare.
The National Academy of Sciences recently looked into this by comparing how much immigrants pay in taxes to how much they use in government services. Kim Rubin is a senior fellow at the Urban Institute who worked on that report.
In general, immigrants are good for the federal bottom line. For state and local governments, the story is a little more mixed, and that's largely because immigrants have more kids. And so as they grow up, those children will become workers and become part of the labor force. But in the short term, they are expensive largely because of the cost of education.
The Supreme Court ruled in 1982 that all students are entitled to a free public education regardless of immigration status. Rubin says it's true. Educating the children of immigrants costs taxpayers money in the short term. But looking at the bigger picture, she says, it's a worthy investment, especially when those kids grow up.
We also found in the report that the children of immigrants, so those second generation, are actually the people who are giving the most in terms of paying taxes versus using services over the long run.
So how much is all of this costing taxpayers? Well, it depends on the program and each individual's immigration status. Last year, emergency room visits and prenatal care provided through BadgerCare, which immigrants can take advantage of, only accounted for less than 0.5% of all money spent on Medicaid in Wisconsin. Alexandra Hall, Wisconsin Public Radio.